I know that the city councilmen rotate through the door, and sometimes I'm not sure who's coming in until I see your face, but it's always nice to have you in here. Thank you
sometimes
very much.
Sometimes we're not sure. We have to juggle that schedule.
Well, and there is a, I know that there is a annual schedule set up, but when that is published some months ago, sometimes circumstances change for each of you.
That's right. Yeah, we take turns. Everybody gets a chance to come in and visit with you, and we enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much. It's informative to the listeners, and I appreciate the reports, you know, from the people who make the decisions. Thank you very much. A couple of things last night. I want to start with probably the most visible. It was, I'm trying to remember, last fall sometime when the development for the Nehemiah Project was first brought to the council. And last night it was, well, by just a request to waive some fees and make their affordable housing project more affordable to the developer.
Right. Everything is just moving another step closer. It's a project in an area that has just been empty lots. So I think everybody I've spoken with is very excited, not only with the idea that that neighborhood would come alive again, but it's just a unique concept. They don't call them tiny houses. That's kind of what I think of. But fairly small footprint, quite a few of them. Perhaps something that's more common in larger cities, mm-hmm. but Bartlesville has never been common, and we have a lot of really neat things here, and we think this will be another one. They came to the council last night and asked to help hold costs down, that some of the fees would be waived, and the city council did agree to waive what are called soft costs, mm-hmm. and that will amount to about $1,740 that will take that cost off. It's not a large amount, but every little bit helps.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it was something that it's not the first time, as I recall, the city has done that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Different circumstances, different requests, but kind of parallels some of the things that have been done in the past.
Try to be helpful as much as is possible. Obviously, the city has bills to pay. The reason we did not waive the hard costs, the materials, the water meters, the things that have to be purchased to put in for a development.
Yeah, but those have already been purchased at taxpayer expense.
They have. Everything's been done at taxpayer expense. That's something we're very mindful of.
It is. And I that's a message that I have heard repeatedly from elected officials, both mm-hmm. at the city, county, state, mm-hmm. and federal level. Well, maybe not from federal so much. But anyway, but it is something that I hear frequently. What's the next step on the process for this one?
Well, I think at this point they'll move forward. They didn't go into that last night, but certainly it's always interesting when you look at any project, how much work goes into it before you actually see construction. Out on Adams Road, we now see things coming out of the ground, but when you think how many months ago that got started, doing all of the preparation work before you see that, I think this project on 6th Street is no different. They will do a lot more work, paperwork, got to have paperwork, and a lot of preparation before they actually get equipment on site. But hopefully we're one step closer to that, and that will happen just in the next few months.
And Lisa was before the council last night and I'm paraphrasing, saying that this project will meet federal guidelines for affordable housing.
Right. This has several hurdles. If you think of them as hurdles, almost everything the federal government does puts a hurdle in place.
Sometimes high hurdles. But
sometimes
yeah.
higher than others. That's right. But this will qualify to fulfill a lot of special needs, needs of community citizens that perhaps might not be met in any other way. Like I say, neat location, neat program. At least the conceptual drawings we see, it's just going to be a really neat idea and a neat new addition for the city.
Okay, well, looking forward to progress on that one. You also, I think there was an agreement with ODOT on some projects there?
Right. If you drive down Adams, particularly from Silver Lake Road into the river and into downtown, you've noticed over time that the guardrails sag a little bit. They're beyond sagging a little bit. Many of them are just laying down on the ground taking a break. And that's not the right function of guardrails. They don't do a lot of guarding at that point. Discussions with Oklahoma Department of Transportation, ODOT, city manager working with them, Earl Sears was involved, Representative Sears, with just a joint effort to get that fixed. So last night, City Council approved expending, we think it'll be about $7,000 for the material, and then ODOT will come in and make all of those installations. It's basically the two guardrails on the south side of the road between the river and Silver Lake are the go-kart tracks. A lot of people know where that is. Those long guardrails there, that keep people in an accident from going off the roadway and down into the trees. It's an important project, and applaud ODOT, Representative Sears, city staff, for working together to bring this to us at a very reasonable cost that will be a good improvement for the city.
And sometimes I think people see that relationship between the city and ODOT as something that's a little hard to understand. If it's a ODOT highway, then the city is paying for the guardrails and how it all works together.
That gets complicated, and I'm not going to tell you that I understand every nuance of it, but ODOT has responsibility for the roadway. It is one idea that the roadway does not include the guardrails, since they're not on the roadway. We could argue that back and forth, but I think this cooperative agreement gets us where we want to be at a very minimal cost. And really, it's for the other people may drive on that roadway, but the huge percentage of that is for the people that live here in our city.
Absolutely. And as long as we're talking ODOT, of course, work continues along US 75 Washington Boulevard, another ODOT project. I know that the city will get more than its fair share of blame for what's going on, but as the city manager mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it's an ODOT project. You didn't choose the date, you didn't ask for it to be done, even though it does need to be done, and now's a good time.
That's right. It's springtime. There's going to be a lot of road work. If you travel anywhere in the United States, as the weather warms up, all of these road projects begin to get cranked up. We've had an exceptionally mild winter so far. I guess that could change. We've seen snow in March, but yeah. These projects have gotten started. They are necessary. When you do them on a very heavily traveled roadway, as Washington Boulevard Highway 75 is, it always is going to create dislocations and inconveniences. For those of us that live here, knowing that, trying to avoid that area is the easiest way to keep our blood pressure in check. And when we get through, it will be a vastly improved place to travel. It was on the list of deficient bridges in Oklahoma. As you know, Charlie, over the years, there were a huge number of those, and ODOT has gradually been whittling that down. Mm-hmm. It just came up that this was the time to do this particular bridge, and we're just going to get through it. But it is not a city project. We do not have control of it. We just are going to have to live through it, but we will get the benefit.
I saw I didn't see the whole list, but the size of a federal list of deficient bridges in the states, and we are by no means the lone stranger on that list.
No, bridges are expensive. I learned that working with the Boy Scouts when we did a little bridge project at the scout camp west of town. You can do a lot of anything cheaper than you can do a bridge. I said the one thing I learned doing that is never be in charge of a bridge project. They are exceedingly complicated. You want them to be safe. You want them to last. Bridges typically cover an area that has water in it. Water creates just a whole nother layer of complications.
It sure does. I want to back up down US 60 just a little bit. Work continues with the develop their development next to Lowe's.
That is beginning, as I mentioned, it's beginning to look like something.
Yeah, it is.
There's walls coming up. You can begin to think there might be a building there
at some point. We can almost imagine which sign goes on which building.
You can, and they're beginning to put down what will be the roadways. Yep. They're building that roadbed. Again, a lot of below-grade work, things that you don't see but that are very important. There's a lot of old anecdotes, but a house with no foundation is just not going to hold up very well, and certainly a road with no good foundation. The problems we have with many of our roadways go back to the foundation or the roadbed. Mm-hmm. So that's coming out of the ground, and that's exciting. I think people see that, and they begin to realize, okay, now I get the picture. It just was a pile of dirt, but this is beginning to look like something.
Well, and even the artist renditions haven't been as precise as actually seeing bricks and cement and steel beams and all of the stuff.
I have trouble with scale.
Yeah,
I look at it and I said, well, have you ever driven by a place? I drove by the old Madison lot the other day, and perhaps it was because I was younger then, but it seemed like a really big building. But when they take the building off, it's like, well, that's not as big as it seemed. You can get a lot of building on a space. You go by a new construction for a home, and you see this little piece of concrete, and you think, well, that's not, and then you see the house later, and it's a big house. It's going to be a big shopping operation. And I think now that we see that coming out of the ground, the scale begins to make more sense.
And while I have nothing concrete literally to base that on, but I know that there are more announcements to come as far as tenants of the restaurant pads and other spaces that were not major anchor stores.
Right. As they get those things set up and they have, as you recall, this council meeting just before this, a couple of weeks ago, when Mr. Pape announced that Academy, that had been a rumor. But until he announced that...
As a matter of fact, you could almost put one and one together with a reasonable degree of certainty that it was going to come out two or two and a half because of the way he described the business a month or two ago.
Well, and then somebody had posted on an Academy website, so the pieces began to come together. But once he announced that, the same thing happens for these other locations. I think there have been a lot of rumors. I think the one thing that is overall the most impressive is the quality of operations that are looking at Bartlesville to come here. Chick-fil-A has made their announcement. Academy has been announced. These are places when we do studies and we go out and we ask people, what would you like to see? These are names that come up repeatedly near the top of the list. Those companies are coming to Bartlesville and saying, we see something here that we want to be a part of. We're going to invest in this community. We're going to hire people. That's exciting because success breeds success.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the good thing about economic development overall. Frequently it takes a Herculean task to get the ball rolling, but then inertia works for you and the ball stays rolling for a while.
We are certainly hopeful that's true.
We will continue with a Community Connection coming up in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and again, spending a little bit of time with Mayor Copeland this morning, talking city business, some of the things from last night's council meeting, and then expanding the scope a little bit. And I'm just going to say, you mentioned springtime construction projects. We already mentioned Washington Boulevard. But again, I think we're going to be getting into that time of year in a matter of weeks that the shortest distance between any two points will be under construction, and I will attribute that to Jim Bonson.
I think he should copyright that. He'd get a payment every time we use that because it gets used a lot because it is true.
Yeah.
Last night, Camelot Drive, coming into the Colonial Edition from the east side off Highway 75, Camelot is a major access point, particularly up close to the highway there by the bank building. That contract was given last night to Crossland Heavy Contractors to go in and replace panels. It's a fairly, Micah Seymour, city engineer, explained, it's a fairly wide road, so they'll never totally close that as they work in one section, go over, take out another section and replace it. But it will be inconvenient for a while. There are ways to loop around that to get into Colonial from different points of access, but people need to be aware that in the next several weeks they will begin to get in. The first parts up at the east end will be the most inconvenient because once they get down past that, you'll be able to get across on, I believe it's Braddock. There's different ways to get through that people that live there will be familiar with. But it is coming. Again, it'll be a good improvement. We're just going to have to get through the inconvenience.
I think for the non-residents of that neighborhood, though, human nature will still take over. We'll sit and wait and complain and do everything other than take another route. So we'll see how it all works.
We live and we learn. We're slow learners sometimes, but I get there eventually.
There you go. But there are other street projects that are in the works. I've seen a map of projected street projects. Don't have it in front of me.
There is an extensive map. When you look at what the engineering department tracks across every section of the city, this is the most recent one. Some of those off the top of my head, I don't have the map with me, but one of the really big ones is from Madison to the river on Tuxedo. Mm-hmm. That's a large project to come forward. There's projects in Oak Park. There's projects just all over town. there's a scoring system that helps the city decide what street to do, and there's two basic approaches that I've seen. One is the street just needs to be fixed because it's in such bad condition. People rarely disagree. The ones that create calls that I get occasionally is, why are you doing that street? It's not as bad as this other one. Well, the point of that is it's much easier to keep it from getting that bad. It's also much cheaper. They've explained to me that the example, it's cheaper to paint your house than to wait until the boards rot off and have to replace them, and you have to paint them anyway. So sometimes we do a preventative maintenance because we can do so many more miles, if you will, feet sometimes, but so much more street when we do preventive maintenance and keep them from getting bad. So you'll see both types going on across the city. Some of those are done by contractors, some are done by city staff.
And you mentioned the word miles, and you're not incorrect. I have heard city engineers, both current and prior, talk about the number of lane miles that there are in the town.
Over 500, if my memory's right.
Yeah, that sounds...
You look at Bartlesville and you think we're not that big, but every street in front of every house, it adds up.
It does, because when you're, again, looking at lane miles, most of our streets are at least two lanes. Mm-hmm. Some of them are a little bit wider than that. So you start adding them up, and yeah, you get a big number pretty quick.
But we want to do that in the spring because that's when we get the best result. If you put down in wet weather, then you get freeze, you get frost heave, you get... it's not warm enough for the asphaltic concrete to adhere and set properly. You really want to do that. The state, everybody does that in the summertime, and it is inconvenient, but I think perhaps we've become accustomed to, some might say spoiled, to having such nice streets to drive on. Mm-hmm. It's not always been that way, Charlie. For someone who's older than you or I, that can remember when having a good dirt road when it wasn't impassable was considered normal.
Well, and most communities, and Bartlesville no exception, at one time we had what we would probably call good brick streets. You know?
Good brick streets. There's still some towns around that have those.
Yeah, and so it is a matter of perspective and what you want and what you're considering a good street. Other projects around, I know we are more than a month away, but it's probably a good time to remind folks about Operation Clean House coming up in April.
Couple of things coming up. Operation Clean House, that's a cooperative effort. Phillips 66, other community people, the county works with this. A place that they will post a list, and I'm not going to tell you that off the top of my head, but you can take a variety of things that should not be thrown in the trash. Tires, fluorescent light bulbs, different chemicals, yard treatment materials. You can take them in Bartlesville to the Phillips 66 parking lot. I wanted to say it's District 2.
District 2 Barn in Dewey.
It's Commissioner Antle.
Right.
Out in Dewey there on 9th Street. And that'll be the other location. It gives you a chance to get those safely out of the house, out of the garage, away from the kids, away from the pets, something you're never going to use. And they will dispose of it properly. And then following up on that very soon after May the 1st, and that is a ways, but it'll be here before we know it, is our free yard debris pickup that... as long as it's in a trash bag, leaves, grass clippings, if you dethatch your yard, as you get those last leaves out of the flower beds and things, do not need a special bag, do not need a sticker, just need to have them bagged up at the curb. They'll be picked up on your regular day. Along with that, and I asked the city manager for a clarification last night, a lot of times after the winter, the cold weather, the dryness, we get twigs and limbs and sticks. As you gather those up, they do need to be in bundles, firmly tied. They need to be able to get hold of them to throw them into the trucks. They need to be less than 4 feet long and less than 50 pounds. That, you know, don't put a 12-inch limb that's 40 feet long at the curb and expect it to be picked up.
Just not going to fit in the truck.
Just not going to fit in the truck, and even someone younger than I is not going to be able to pick that thing up and get it in the truck. So if we get those, perhaps that's good firewood.
Well, and I don't know, maybe with that automated arm on the truck, maybe we think it can just pick it up just like a Polycarp.
Right. Those arms are pretty neat, but I don't know that they're that good. But those will be picked up. Get them out of your yard. Get them taken care of properly and at no expense to the citizens. You can always take things out to the city landfill, but they do charge for that. Periodically, the city and your billing will mail out a form that's good for residential, not business use, but residential use, that instead of having a particular day, which we've done in the past, you can do it at any time, one time.
And depending on your billing cycle, it was either in your most recent or the one just before that, again, right. Depending on your billing cycle.
Right. So that's handy, too. We try to do things that make this easy for people, but picking them up at your curb is the easiest thing.
Yeah, that's great. All you have to do is stick it in a bag, and again, like you said, no sticker, no clear bag, no special bag, no nothing, just, you know, it's not recognizable from any other form of refuse.
Right. Just yard debris only.
Right.
As long as everybody does that, if people begin to create issues, then we'd have to revisit it. But as long as everyone...
Don't put the tires in there? I don't understand.
No tires. No tires. Don't bring that up. Somebody will think that's okay. No.
I tried to laugh afterwards because say it in jest. Obviously, I didn't mean it. We don't mean it. Don't do that.
No, but yard debris, and it's amazing how much yard debris you can have, collect as you begin raking out those beds and under the bushes and things. So just something else to try to do to keep our city beautiful. And along with that, just throw in last night, I know I listened to, I think KYFM. I listened to K1 and KYFM, so I think it was KYFM. But as the storms rolled through, that dry line pulled through, we had some pretty intense weather. Fortunately, didn't last very long.
No.
But people need to realize it's springtime, that's going to happen. We need the rain. But people need to be alert, keep their radio, keep a battery in the radio, and be ready for that. Spring break's coming up. I don't have any kids at home anymore, so sometimes that slips up on me.
Yes, it does.
But a lot of people going on trips, going to see relatives, maybe going to ski. Talked to someone yesterday, said that they just got back from skiing, said it was just amazing, the best skiing they'd ever had before. So I haven't gotten to go, but apparently there's some neat stuff out there to do. Hope people will have a good and a safe trip. And be aware of the storms, be aware of the weather, have a safe place, all those things that I know the station repeatedly shares with people.
And there are, again, what I want to call the usual locations that after a lot of wet water hits the ground that we know that this particular intersection is going to flood or there's going to be a lot of water on the left-hand, the right-hand lane of this particular street. Just be aware of those.
And there's all these neat sayings. The one I like is turn around, don't drown.
There you go.
Yeah.
So just some of the things that I'll say, like as we get into storm season, and I had an interview with Kerry Cox just yesterday morning talking about some of the same things, you know, having fresh batteries. And, of course, he almost also mentioned smoke detectors have about a seven-year lifespan. Yeah. And one thing you can do with your smoke detector, if it's older than 7 years old, is take it to the household hazardous recycling day.
Right, and smoke detectors have come so far. I'm impressed. My brother came across, you can now buy smoke detectors that you put in your house, but they alert your phone.
Yeah.
So even if you're not home, I mean, obviously the primary thing is if you're home, you want to know if there's smoke, if you're asleep or whatever. But if you're not at home and your alarm goes off, that might be a neat thing to know too. And they now have those devices. They're not horribly expensive. Installation is pretty straightforward. Just another benefit of technology that we can use to keep us safe.
Yeah. I haven't seen the latest sales tax report. We've only got about 30 seconds. But, again, I assume that things at least are on the increase somewhere along the line.
They have begun to moderate from the losses we had. The state continues to show losses. Mr. Bailey gives us regular reports. Staff had predicted the first 6 months would show a decline, but that they had also predicted that we would, about this point, begin to see us turn the corner and come out of that. And I am certainly hoping that they are correct and that this downturn has to end sometime. And I'm hoping we're closer than we were yesterday.
There you go. Dale, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks.
Mayor Copeland with us this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1 News. On the way next from the ONN.
ONN News.